is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Back at Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Live from the Madison RV Studios. Go to MadisonRV.com. Lance Taylor, the Jocks Roundtable, usually joins us on Thursdays. LT, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Cole. Kind of sucks this weekend. I guess we've got Senior Bowl, but outside of that, we got no football.
Yeah, Pro Bowl is pretty much a waste of time. Would you agree?
As a kid, I kind of dug the Pro Bowl. I don't know why, but I guess it was just something to fill the time. But I watched as a kid, but I haven't watched a Pro Bowl in probably 3 or 4 years. I'm a little intrigued by the NBA All-Star game just because of the way they're selecting it this year. I think they're missing a really great opportunity on doing it live on television tomorrow and having LeBron and Steph actually make their selections on ESPN or TNT or wherever they wanted to do it. I think it's weird they're just doing a conference call. So the NBA All-Star Game is not as fun as it once was, but I like that format. But the Pro Bowl sucks.
Boy, you are winning over our program director and producer of the show, Arky Shea, because his number one beef in all of sports right now is
Tim Tebow.
I'm sorry. His number two beef in all of sports right now is that NBA All-Star Game selection process not being televised.
I mean, don't you think it would be kind of cool that Steph and LeBron are kind of on the clock, and you've got guys that you play with and in conference and out of conference, and just to see the direction they would go? I think it would be somewhat intriguing. I mean, maybe just do it for an hour and a half or 2 hours, but you don't drag the thing out. But I think it could be neat, at least for the first time.
Yeah, and Lance, they could trade each other. I mean, if they wanted to, they could go 1 for 2 or 2 for 1. I mean, the NHL does this, and I know people worry about being the last one taken, but like the NHL gives the last person taken a car, so everybody can win in this scenario. It just seems like Adam Silver being a little too protective.
Yeah, I wonder if it's actually Steph and LeBron and the players that said, "Hey, look, we really don't want to be on record," or I guess they're going to be on record regardless, but we really don't want to do this live. I don't know. It's weird. I think they're missing a great opportunity, though.
What were your thoughts of the initial Super Bowl lines when you saw them drop?
I thought the number – well, here's the thing. If you would have told me that Philadelphia was going to play New England before last weekend's championship matchups, I would have said the number's probably going to be about 6. I didn't realize Philadelphia would dominate like they did. I didn't realize Nick Foles would play clean football against such a good defense. So as that game was going on, I started to think about the number, and I thought that the number would be a little bit lighter than it typically would have been because Philadelphia looked so good. With all that said, public now is on Philadelphia – and I'm sure you guys have seen this, and it's well documented. This is the highest number we've seen in the Super Bowl since your Steelers played the Arizona Cardinals in a game I know you were at in Tampa. But 6 is kind of a high number in the Super Bowl. This number is down to 5 because the betting public is all over Philadelphia right now. I think the number's about right.
Okay. Have you seen Lance Taylor of the Jocks Roundtable joining us? Have you seen any early props? Because I know this is something that's going to become extremely popular and a lot of people want to be a part of. Any early props that you feel good about with Super Bowl 52?
You know, Cole, I don't think they've been released yet. We've got Todd Furman from Bet the Board podcast. He comes on weekly on our show, a former guy that used to set the number at Caesars. And I think all of the props should be coming out in the next couple of days. I mean, it will be 25 pages of props. I'll tell you an interesting one for me, and I don't know about you. I was totally convinced that Nick Foles would turn the football over against that Minnesota defense last week. And now Nick Foles has 3 playoff starts in his career, and he's got 0 turnovers. So I wonder where they're going to set that number against an opportunistic Patriot defense. You know, if that number is, you know, it probably just will Nick Foles throw an interception, you know, yes, minus 150, no, you know, even money. I don't know exactly what that number will be, but, I mean, I would lean that Nick Foles finally turns the football over, would you not?
I've heard you talking about that game, and in particular that side of that game, the Minnesota Vikings defense, and I was with you. I was high on the Vikings coming into the year. I thought they'd be in the Super Bowl after I saw this matchup, and that defense was a big part of it. So the only thing that would make me a little bit wary about it, LT, is that they're playing it so safe with him, and it's so much quick ball distribution. They don't ask him to challenge the middle of the field too much. So if they're overprotective with his routes and what they ask him to do, I could see him getting through another game and not turning it over. But, yeah, against this defense, against Belichick and company, I would have to think, well, if it goes the way that you're thinking right now, you probably set it at, what, 1.5?
Yeah, 1.5 would be heavy just for the simple fact that the guy hasn't turned one over in 3 games. Again, I think it'll just be, will Nick Foles throw an interception, and then there'll be a money line on that, yes or no.
Okay.
And I would lean that he will throw an interception. I don't really have a play yet on this game. I'll get more into that next week. But you give Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia a couple of weeks to prepare for a backup quarterback, and albeit a really good backup quarterback that's got a ton of experience, I think he's got 49 career starts. I just, you know, you've got to lean the way of the Patriots defense. And you talked about Doug Peterson and how he's been calling these games. And it's been pretty impressive. But he actually let him open it up, and they actually went downfield, you know, 3-4 times last week, yeah. And it paid off for Philadelphia.
Lance Bet DSI has come out with a few prop bets. Just wanted to just get your thoughts on how funny some of these may be. Would you ever bet on something like this? Like one of them is, will a player leave the game and not return due to concussion symptoms? Yes is plus 120. No is minus 150. Will Tom Brady be wearing a bandage on his right hand? Will Tom Brady or will Bill Belichick announce retirement after the game? Must be shown on the broadcast.
Wow.
Will Donald Trump attend the game? Will he take part in the pregame interview? Total number of tweets for Donald Trump during the game. Will any players kneel? Yeah, and then, of course, you have the MVPs. Who's going to, you know, color of liquid thrown on the coach, coin toss and all that stuff. Any of that stuff seem fun for you?
Marky, well documented that I'm not afraid to bet on anything. I've bet on, honest to God, presidential elections. I've bet on women's soccer. I've bet on Little League World Series. I used to bet when they had the Bud Bowl. Cole, I know you'll remember this. Archie probably doesn't. Budweiser used to go against Bud Light, and they actually had the final score during the game. I used to bet on that. My local bookmaker would have that number up. So I'm not afraid to bet on anything. You know, the problem is they put a max wager on a lot of these props because I think it's going to be easy to figure out whether or not Tom Brady is going to have a patch on the hand. I don't know. I haven't been stitched up in 20 years, knock on wood. How long does it usually take to get stitches out?
I mean, I think he'll have something. But I think he'll have something on there just to cover it regardless. That feels like easy money. How would you handle, LT, if you bet on the color of the liquid? What if they throw blue Gatorade and then somebody else comes in with like an orange Gatorade and you bet orange?
I guess it's the first liquid thrown, I guess.
I've always wondered just how props like that work out.
I don't know how they actually rule that, Cole. I've actually never, and this is a prop that's been up in the last decade, or decade plus, has been the color of the Gatorade that will be thrown on the winning head coach. But I've actually never wagered on that. I probably won't. I'll tell you one of the strangest wagers, and we try to figure this out. Who's singing the national anthem for Super Bowl 52? Do you guys have any idea?
That's a good question. Because I was going to ask if you've ever bet on the duration of the anthem.
Yeah. Last couple of years, we try to figure out who holds those notes.
Sorry, I screamed that.
And you can play, you know, the over or the under. But, yeah, we have bet that last couple of years.
Over under on that from BetDSI, it's 120 seconds, so 2 minutes. How about this one? Will Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth say Pro Football Focus?
Oh, yeah, Collinsworth is getting that in.
Minus 200.
He owns part of the company. He's getting that in
plus
for sure.
Plus 150. There's one. Will Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth say dynasty? Or how many times? Yeah, over 2.5 or under 2.5. So I love this.
Oh, oof. You know they'll say it. I mean, 2.5 is a good number.
Yeah, no, it'll definitely be out. I'm interested to get your thoughts on the AFC Championship game and just some of the flags and the way that game played out, especially in the second half.
Well, you know, in the first half, really the play of the game was the pass interference. Right after Gronkowski goes out in the concussion protocol, after that personal targeting, the A.J. Bouye pass interference. And, you know, I think you could have let it go. I don't really have a problem with it. It is strange, Cole, that Jacksonville have been flagged for five pass interferences the entire year, and they get flagged for three in that game. But the Bouye one was a big call because then New England's able to score with under a minute to go. They cut that to a one-possession game. And I think without that, I think Jacksonville probably goes on and wins that game. I was a little disappointed because I thought Doug Marrone was so aggressive in the first half with Bortles, and Bortles was playing clean football. And, you know, in the second half, they just started to go between the tackles on first down with Leonard Fournette, and it didn't pay off. So, you know, the calls I really didn't have a problem with. I thought Gilmore's play on that final fourth down, you know, I think you got to let that one go. I thought that was a tremendous defensive play. So all in all, didn't have a problem with the calls. I just wish Marrone would have been a little more aggressive. I wish he would have called second half like he did the first half.
Yeah. All right, LT, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you next week. Get your official thoughts on where it looks like that line's going to land for Super Bowl 52.
Talk to you boys Wednesday. Thanks.
Let's get the 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Just go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Pretty big fan of the fact that there is a prop bet for whether or not Chris Collinsworth will say Pro Football Focus.
I would feel great wagering on that he will, by the way.
It's funny because you have to... I'm going to have to watch a Super Bowl where legitimately they're going to put the Pro Football Focus rankings on these guys in a week and a half. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Can't wait. William Roberts tweets in, Buttongate strikes at the Lance Taylor on that Cube Show.
Got him! Got him, Buttons!
There was a couple that made their way in. Garrett at Yinzer into South tweets at Cube Show, it's called the Olympic Games, not the Olympic Sports.
But that was before we added sports.
But everyone says, I love that sport, or he competes in that sport, or she's great in her sport. So we had to set the record straight.
Is winning an Abby by doing a top-rated radio show? Which, by the way, can I just say this? Take a moment. We got the ratings in. We're number one again in North Alabama in sports talk. So thank you guys for listening in the fall. Big ups. The ump is crushing it. Anyway, is that a sport? Is crushing another radio station in ratings a sport?
No, it's a... Dynasty.
We're the dynasty. We're not going to die. We're the Bama Belichick dynasty. But Abby's.
Julian Moffitt tweets, at Cube Show, why are you hating on these sports you can't do, at Cole Kubelik?
Yeah, why are you hating on the skeleton? Because you can't do it?
I would love to try it, by the way. It just looks like fun. Tell me a place really? I can go try the skeleton. I would love to just give it a shot.
Really? You know the place we were going to do, like, go-kart? That's shut down. That's sad. But we're going to throw a rock. We're going to throw axes. That's going to happen. Right? We are going to throw axes, right?
Yes. Dan Strickland tweets, please play the Olympic theme using the ham horn.
See, I can't.
Play I don't remember theme. How it goes.
No, you don't know how the ham horn goes?
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. Is that it? The Olympic theme?
Yeah, you're there. But get the ham horn in somehow. No. Voice your ham horn. I don't want to. Wah, wah, wah. No, voice it. Voice it. No, that's not. You turn that off. Voice it, Cole Kubelik. You've done it before. Do it again. Voice it. Oh, this is so fun. I like controlling the buttons. All right, I'm trying to keep some of our listeners. We're number one for a reason. Done. Is it because of the ham horn? Do you think the ham horn's the reason we're number one?
It's the only reason. Other people are scared of it.
Don't be scared.
Matthew Knowles makes a great point at Cube Show. Cube Show is number one against who? But Bama.
Hey, listen, they line us Fair. Up. Listen, we understand our competition's a lettuce game, but we still have to play them. You know, they still technically show up. We still have to beat the ass.
Whoa.
We still have to do it.
Calm down.
Sorry, Charlies.
Calm it down.
Hey, thoughts on this, Cole? Give them. A story came out from Tom Green. Do we have somebody coming up at 9:20?
Yes, Rod Bramlett.
Oh, then never mind. I don't want to get that dirty into it. We'll talk about it afterwards, maybe. But you see where Carlton Davis basically convinced his way back to Auburn, and it really wasn't an illness. He just wanted not play in the Peach Bowl because basically it was a business decision.
Feels like there's a lot better way you could have handled that than... Yeah.
Reporters were talking to Trey Williams and company that were down there, and Trey Matthews. A lot of Trey's down there for Auburn. About a lot of things, and that came up. Carlton Davis, who probably will be a first-round pick for Auburn this year. Basically, travel with the team to Atlanta, but they knew pretty early on, they did the team, that he was leaning towards not coming back and not playing. So he found his way back from Atlanta, which my thought is, why'd you make the trip? Because he did practice in the practices in Atlanta.
Just say, I'm not going to play, and you go through the whole routine with everybody and go practice, and or just stand at practice, whatever.
Yeah, that could have been done too. Like,
such an easy out, and he just not good.
It's just not a great. Not good.
Roto World NFL Draft at RotoWorld_draft tweets 22 hours ago. NFL GM Josh Allen could explode at Combine.
Whoa!
That feels dangerous.
Get him off the field. Hey, have you seen that he's big? Everybody's talking about how tall he is. Look how big he is.
I haven't seen the look
he's
how big he is.
He's their new guy. Yeah, he's like 6'4 and a half. Everybody, no, you have you literally not seen anybody talk about how big he is?
I mean, I saw his measurables, but I
everyone's talking about how big he is. It's like he's a big old prototypical quarterback. He's a big old buddy. Go out there and throw them balls. No, he's an accurate as hell.
Wow.
By the way, big ups to Phil Savage for making excuses for Josh Allen. Some of his were drops.
Yeah, they were.
That could go with everybody, but you got to complete better than 55% of your passes.
Okay. Welcome back, GameCube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. UmpSports.com. Well, excited to welcome in Rod Bramlett to the show at Voice of AU Tigers. You can hear him calling Auburn football, Auburn basketball. They'll be in action tonight at Missouri. Good morning, Rod. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Take us back to this game over the weekend, one that seems to be sort of a reoccurring event with this Auburn basketball team, and that is finding a way to make some adjustments at halftime. And I guess it's looking like a completely different basketball team in the second half. What stuck out as most different to you in the second half against Georgia Saturday than the first half when Auburn was able to rally and pick up a win?
Well, Coach Pearl went to a full court pressuring kind of zone full court pressure that disrupted Georgia offensively. That was one, and after that, Georgia just couldn't hit any shots. I mean, good grief, they didn't still go to the 6:41 mark. But I think more importantly, I think it was the first shot that of the second half. Mustafa Heron, they drew up a play for him. He'd not played well in the first half. He hits a three, and then that gets the crowd into it, and it just escalated from there. And right now, Cole, when Auburn plays at Auburn Arena, that place is full. It's as tough as any place in the league and maybe in the country. It's just incredible, the atmosphere that is there. Now, you still have to go out and execute, and Auburn hits shots. And Auburn has shown the ability to hit shots from multiple positions. I mean, they have five guys on the floor at all times, any of them can score. And I think that's been a big, big difference. And ultimately, this team has great confidence in itself. They don't panic. They know they can score. They know they can come back. And this trend of late falling behind is completely different from, gosh, the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. Auburn was blowing out to these huge leads. They did even against Arkansas earlier in the SEC schedule, and then just never looked back, really. And now they've gone the other direction, which is both good and bad. I think we'd all rather, if you're an Auburn fan, you'd rather get out of that big lead and coast But the good side of it is they don't panic. And they've shown the ability to come back. This league is as good as it's been in a long, long time. And, you know, if you take care of business on the at home and get a road win here and there, you'll be in good shape. But, boy, this team's playing with an awful lot of confidence right now.
Hey, you're right, Rod. There's a lot of confidence with this team. I mean, why not? You're 17-2 and half a game out of first place with Florida number one in the SEC. I mean, only one loss in the conference. Basically, you and Florida hanging out there. Got Missouri tonight at 8 o'clock, by the way. How do you – Auburn's trailed by double digits in all six of their SEC games. How do you explain that they have gotten that way? And how do you explain that they get themselves out? Because it seems like they're dangerously close to shooting themselves out of games, but they find a way to get a big run at some point in and get right back in, and most of the times pull away.
Well, I think it's just the confidence factor and the chemistry factor. I don't think this team panics. They don't get down. They believe in what Coach Pearl, the system that he's teaching them, and the fact that, oh, it could be Mustafa Heron, it could be Jared Harper, it could be Bryce Brown, it could be Anthony McLemore. You go to the bench, and I mean, it could be Malik Dunbar, it could be Chuma Okeke. I mean, they have so many guys that can score, and the fact that Auburn is getting better defensively is another key factor. Auburn knows that they can defend when they put their mind to it. They can defend as good as anybody in the league. The concern is, obviously, you can't continue to fall behind double digits in this league. There's a lot. You're not even to the halfway point of conference play. You can't continue to fall behind double digits. Auburn needs to play a 40-minute basketball game. And I'll be honest with you, Cole, they haven't done that very often. It's either been huge lead up front, and then you just kind of coast in, or lately it's been falling behind, and, boy, you have to kick it in a notch to come from behind. But I think their ability to come from behind just comes from their confidence and the fact that they have multiple weapons and that they believe in what they're doing.
Rod Bramlin of the Auburn Radio Network joining us. Auburn and Missouri battle tonight in Columbia. Also wanted to ask you about this team because there's not a ton of size on this team, but they're number two overall in rebounding, in rebounds per game in the SEC, and they're number one in the offensive rebounding per game. How are they doing this?
They just all five guys rebound. I mean, they just all go, if not five, they'll have four going to the boards at all time. I will say this, though. The rebounding numbers overall are a little deceiving now because if you step back and look in conference play, rebounding has been more of an issue, which Coach Pearl expected it to be, but they're still hanging in there. And you have to give all the credit in the world to guys like, Anthony McLemore, who's just been terrific in there. He's a 6'6", 6'7", 5 guy that has just tremendous leaping ability. Deshaun Murray is a three-guard playing the four position. He's one of the best rebounders I've ever seen. He anticipates where the ball's coming off the rim when on a miss, and he's a strong guy. Where he lacks in height, he can kind of shove you out of the way and get position. It's a cliche, but they've just taken this blue collar attitude of, we're small, but we're not soft. And I think their toughness has continued to improve over the course of the year. There'll be nights where they'll just get beat on the boards. They're teams, and Missouri may be one of them tonight. Missouri's got a couple guys, 6'10", 6'11", in the starting lineup that are very, very talented freshmen. But where Auburn has the advantage on most nights, despite their lack of size, is their athleticism and their quickness. And anybody who's played basketball knows, If you can get position and use your athleticism and your quickness to get that position, you're going to hang in there on the boards. And Auburn's been able to do that.
Rod Bramlett with us, voice of the Auburn Tigers. They'll be in action tonight against Missouri. You mentioned that pressure defense that Bruce Pearl sort of switched to in the second half against Georgia. They had a lot of success with that, Rod. Not just to be able to come back in that game, it was a huge part of it, but they caused a lot of problems, and you could visibly see how problematic it was for Georgia to handle. Would you expect to see that more, maybe not in times of sort of desperation needing a double-digit comeback, so to speak?
Right. I think so. And it also, I think, depends on who you're playing. Like tonight, this Missouri team is, gosh, and who does these stats? I don't know, but it's amazing that it's even a stat. But they're like in the 300s in terms of pace of play. I mean, they're a slow, methodical team that doesn't want to get into a track meet. I'm not saying they won't run, because they will run on you some in transition. But they want to be more methodical and dictate the tempo. That's what Georgia was able to do Saturday in the first half. I think that's what Missouri will do tonight. Well, you can use that kind of pressuring defense to take them out of that comfort zone, to rush them, to speed them up. And that is one thing this Missouri team does. They have done. They've turned the ball over. Now, they're a much better three-point shooting team than Georgia is. But they have turned the ball over. So, yeah, I think, like, for example, tonight you may see a little bit more of that, that pressuring full-court defense, because Auburn has the depth to do that.
Rod, great stuff as always. Really do appreciate the time. Good luck on the call tonight. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Take care, Cole.
Thank you. Rod Bramlett joining us to talk some Auburn hoops there. Really, really impressive what this team has been able to do at halftime, making adjustments, play different styles of basketball at different times. And Gerard was talking to us a little bit earlier, just during one of the commercial breaks, how impressed he is that this team just scratches, claws, hustles, finds ways to get things done. Now, a lot of it also is reliant on them hitting shots. They need to make threes if they're going to beat you. That's kind of who they are. But they have found at least a inside presence. And I think being able to, I mean, they got the leading shot blocker in the SEC. And that's a big place to start defensively. And if they can spread you out.
McLemore, does he lead the SEC?
He is. If they spread you out and they hit shots, then that becomes very difficult to defend. You don't have to be an inside team if all of a sudden you remove most of your defenders from the paint.
Sure. One of the great things about the rebounding numbers is that if you're hitting a whole bunch of threes, I guess not if you're hitting them, but if you're shooting a whole bunch of threes and missing, it's long rebounds and you don't have to be 6'10 and 6'11 to be able to get those. Shooting teams can win. I mean, you can win and go deep in the NCAA tournament by just being a good shooting team. Being a good shooting team and a good fundamental team and a good rebounding team like Auburn has been. As Rod told you, those numbers have gone down a little bit when it got into conference play. But if you can stay roughly even in the rebounding category with this size team, you know, a bunch of 6'3", 6'2", 6'3 guys and a couple of 6'6", 6'7s, I mean, you can do some damage. Obviously, they've already done some, but you can make a run to where you could be in the semifinals, finals of the SEC tournament and be a Sweet 16 type team. You can do it. You just got to make sure that weekend that you're shooting, that they're going in.
Anthony McLemore, 2.9 blocks per game for Auburn, leads the way in the SEC. Robert Williams, second at 2.3. Kavarius Hayes out of Florida, 2.2. Donta Hall, fourth with 2.2 blocks per game for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So
he's got a few embarrassing ones of blocks where he just sort of humiliates people with the blocks. That's Donta Hall.
We've got a little bit of breaking news involving Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois. We'll get to that on the other side. We'll get to TV listings. We'll read your tweets. We'll close out a Wednesday edition of Cube Show when we come back right after this.
Talk about the things you do for the ones you love. In this case, the one you love being Taco Bell.
Baja Blast. Baja Blast. Baja Blast.
I think the people cheering are probably what is the most disturbing aspect about that whole video.
It is.
Why are they excited about that?
Someone, let me see.
Has she gotten a call to American Idol or anything yet?
Yeah.
That's what she's going for.
She bangs.
She had her own microphone with it was all glitzed up and everything. She's trying to get something out of that.
H2O Will didn't want me to play it. He said, please, for all that is sacred and holy, let the whole Baja Blast song go away. Hmm. And don't sing it. It only encourages people who are interviewed by the local news stations to act like clowns, i.e. bronchitis. I think that was, ain't nobody got time for that lady.
Yeah.
And hide your kids, hide your wife. That's local, man. We got to keep hide your kids, hide your wife. When's the last time you've seen that video?
It's been a while, thankfully. I don't need any more of it.
I'm probably going to kill Baja Blast. I think today's probably the last time we get it on.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I'd rather play, you know, Buy Me a Coach or something.
No, don't do that.
Or the Cube Show song.
Hey, I haven't
done that in a while.
I didn't know if you saw, you respect Time Magazine?
I guess. I don't know what they've done lately.
I mean, sometimes they put Person of the Year that really makes people mad. It's, you know, some imbecile or something. Time Magazine recently put out a article on the worst jobs in America. Now, Trump would tell you that we're doing better with jobs than we've done in a very long time. So at least there are jobs in America. That's a plus. Would you like to hear, because this actually involves us and some of our listeners, would you like to hear their list of the worst jobs in America?
I'm only here for it.
Thanks in part to the former being the highest stress job of all 200 and having the worst environment score. So that's sort of how they – environment takes into account both physical and emotional factors. Average number of hours worked each week. Income considers mid-level salary, growth potential, outlook measures potential for employment growth and income growth, as well as unemployment rates. Stress takes into account 11 different factors, including travel, deadlines, interaction with the public. No, I have to deal with the public.
Well, some people don't like to do that. My brother hates doing that.
So do I, which is pretty ironic that I'm in this business.
Hey, speaking of February.
I hate all of you.
February 17th, Cole Kublik at Madison RV. Live show, live remote there on Saturday. Go hang out with Cole Kublik.
Yeah.
He hates you. Go hang out with him. Madison RV, February 17th.
That's number 10, firefighter.
It's 2-4, by the way. Firefighter, pretty stressful, pretty intense.
I get it. You're saving lives. You're potentially going to burn. Deadlines, you got to get there before the fire actually. I mean, not everybody has a Rhoda Young to help them when they arrive on the scene of this trick. So,
that's not what she says.
Now, number 9 makes a little bit more sense here. Taxi driver. I understand why that would be stressful, is because you probably feel similar to if you're in the newspaper business. Your job's going away soon. There's just not going to be many of you left before long.
Yeah, but, I mean, Uber, I think, should technically get close to county, right?
We're live! We're going live! We're on the scene of this, bitch!
Not every firefighter has that to help them. If they did, I would assume they'd be bumped out of the top 10.
For the record,
they should replace the Dalmatian with Rhoda Young's. They should find a way to genetically recreate Rhoda Young and have her ride on the fire trucks instead of the Dalmatian. Stress gone.
For the
record, she solved the crime.
Well, for the record, I say for the record a lot. And I was going to say, underreported, she found the arsonist.
Boom. Taxi drivers are going away. I see what you're saying, but they make apparently a median salary of $23,000 a year?
Boy, that'd be a good salary.
You people living in that taxi?
I'd like to be able to do that.
Number 8, advertising salesperson. We have a lot of those here.
Sorry, Mike Markham. And you can call him, by the way, if you want to advertise on the station. I'll give you his number. Mandy Osborne, who's great. You can call her.
We have a lot of great ones that work here. They work everywhere, but it's a stressful job, for sure.
Call them so we can get money and help them be less stressed.
Help them, exactly. That's number 8. Number 7, retail salesperson. I get it. You're dealing with a lot of people. A lot of people aren't in a good mood. You don't have their size. You don't have the color that they want. Retail's a dying industry.
Wife works in retail. She hates it.
That's not exactly what I would say. More retail of...
They sell stuff.
Foot Locker, Belk.
Interact with people. It's retail. But front-facing public.
Number 6, pest control worker?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to be around bugs, so that'd be close to number 1 for me. So... We've talked about my fear of crawling underneath a home. I can't do it. So, can you imagine being a pest control worker? You had to go under there and spray? No, it's not going to happen. Number 5, enlisted military personnel. Obviously, potential to go to war. We get it. That's stressful.
How is possibly going to war only halfway down the
list? Yeah, well, Until you hear number four and number three. The number four worst job in America, according to Time Magazine, disc jockey.
Well, that's not us.
Chicka, chicka.
We got the ham horn. That should save you, right?
Now, I did watch the DJAM documentary, and he's not alive anymore, so I kind of get it. But that's not necessarily the DJ I think they're talking about. They're talking about down the hall.
Like Mojo. You know?
Do you consider yourself a disc jockey?
No. I don't spin records. I used to be. I used to be Cowboy Arky.
Okay, so you have to play music
back
to be
Kicker FM,
a DJ, right?
Yeah. We're voices. We talk.
We're broadcasters?
They do like 12 minutes of live stuff a day. We do 45 days.
Right, I'm not getting into competition, but so you'd say we would fall under the category of broadcaster.
Yeah, when we win the Alabama Broadcasters Association Award for Best Show.
All right, according to Time Magazine, the worst jobs in America, number three, broadcaster.
Yeah, that's right. You know why? Because we do 40 minutes of live actual talking an hour versus what DJs do. And no disrespect to DJs. They make more money than us.
According to Time Magazine, disc jockey median salary, $29,000, broadcaster, $37,000.
People love music.
The growth outlook percentage of a broadcaster is -9%. So you get into it to go backwards, basically.
There's not going to be a bunch of new jobs.
Hope you like your job, because it's only getting worse from here. Number two, a logger.
See, that's a job that only nine people have doesn't count.
Median salary, $35,000 for a logger. What if you drive the truck for the logger, though? That doesn't feel very stressful, does it?
Have you seen these logging shows before? How
unfortunately,
super
I've tried to watch one or two of them, and I can't get through it. Mainly because I can't understand what they're saying to each other.
There's some dangerous, really dangerous crap they're doing.
Yeah, the only one that's dumber is the guys who think they're painting for gold. Those guys should quit at life.
But
they never find anything.
Logging has to be done. Painting for gold is just a weird hobby. It's like I'm
fair enough, but I think some of these guys are trying to make a livelihood out of it.
Well, that's their fault.
Number one, according to Time Magazine, the worst job in America.
I'm gonna guess based on the last couple of years of celebrity deaths, musician,
newspaper reporter.
Well, there's
again, like you said, if there's only nine of them, does it really count?
Listen, didn't we just read it? Kevin Skarbinski.
Done.
He's now like vice president
out
of marketing
here.
Somewhere?
Out. Boom. He's done.
Of course it's going to die off.
I thought it was just
you stop saying newspaper. People got to start saying like just
media reporter.
Yeah, because
I just thought it was intriguing that, I mean, technically in what we do, newspaper reporter, broadcaster, disc jockey, advertising sales, it's like half of this list is directly tied to what we do every day.
Yeah, but that's okay. Because we're going to spin the records. We're going to play some Miley Cyrus. I like to play some Miley. Hey, you know what? We don't do enough of that.
Spin records?
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically they're not spinning records either. It's more digital files. But we
did
need
you
to
know DJ AM glued the 12-inch record to like a 45 to make it where he could spin it easier? Yeah, I learned that on this documentary. All right. Some breaking news out of Tallahassee.
You need to come back now.
I really do. Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois is being investigated in a domestic violence incident. Allegedly occurred Wednesday morning. Multiple sources have confirmed that Tallahassee police responded to an apartment complex in reference to a domestic battery involving Francois at about 12:35 a.m. Additionally, police call notes show officers responded to a domestic incident at the same time. No arrests have been made yet. Francois was absent for most of FSU season, obviously, after being injured against Alabama, started 13 games as a redshirt freshman. So not the best way for Willie Taggart's era to begin at Florida State.
Off-season news, baby. This is when people start really getting into trouble. Off-season stuff. I do want to read this real quick. Richard Buck tweets in, I love my job. He's a pest control guy.
I like his Twitter handle, @YourCooksPestGuy. Solid.
If you need pest control,
I'm just saying it's a solid Twitter handle for that.
He's clearly a listener to the show, so we don't mind saying thank you.
Terrence Roll tweets,
"Fam,
curling is more of a sport than golf. I never made the argument that golf was a sport. So, golf's a game. Have fun with it. Not a sport. Sorry." Jason Thomas tweets, "Good AM, fellas. Fell asleep on campus.
Yeah, he's
woke
he
up and the sun was shining and nobody bothered me. Got class in an hour. Stay classy, San Diego. Like in your car on campus or on a bench, on a park bench?
Probably not a park bench. It was pretty chilly last night. Probably in the library, just reading. People still read nowadays.
Maserati Mac at IM_MW3O.
This better be a good Mac Wilson tweet if it's ending the show.
He tweets 52 minutes ago, I am the best linebacker in the country. Emoji hunted, underscored, emoji praying hands. Hashtag Dick Butkus. Hashtag junior year, money year. Emoji money bag. Watch.